This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Nearly 50 years after he died, a 14-year-old boy is in the news again. The FBI has now exhumed the body of that boy, Emmett Till. He was the victim of one of the most vicious hate crimes in modern American history. The FBI is going to perform an autopsy and forensic testing. Unearthing Emmett has also unearthed unsettling memories for many black baby boomers. Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates has this story of murder and memory.
Everything gonna be all right this morning.
It was summer 1955. In sizzling Chicago, Mamie Till was placing her only child, Emmett, on a southbound train. She wanted to remove him from the city's temptations for a quiet stay with some Mississippi relatives. But 2 weeks later, he returned to Chicago in a box, the victim of a heinous lynching.
This is the muddy backwoods Tallahatchie River, where a weighted body was found, alleged to be that of young Emmett Till.
A few days before he disappeared, Emmett Till had committed an unpardonable sin. Some witnesses say he whistled at a white woman. That was generally supposed to have been adolescent swagger designed to impress his country cousins. But it got him killed. And when his body was found, it had been brutalized almost beyond recognition. In a documentary by filmmaker Keith Beauchamp, Mamie Till recalls how she took stock of her slain son's body.
I looked at the bridge of his nose, and it looked like someone had taken a meat chopper and chopped it. I looked at his teeth because I took so much pride in his teeth. His teeth were the prettiest things I'd ever seen. And I only saw two. Who were the rest of them? They'd just been knocked out.
Mamie Till wanted the country to understand what had gone on down in Mississippi, so she insisted that her mangled, waterlogged son be displayed in an open casket at his services. As a child, Claude Cunningham, now facilities manager at Chicago Public Radio, took a trip with his grandmother to Robertson Church of God in Christ on Chicago's south side.
I remember her holding my brother and my uncle's hand, and we were all, I think I was five, and they were nine, and he took us all there, and my aunt, who was a few years older than me, and he took us all there, and we got in line with all the thousands of other people and worked our way through there just to see the body.
Cunningham says he didn't fully understand the enormity of that day until about a year later, when his grandmother reminded him and his young relatives of what they'd seen and how it would affect her own plans for them.
And my grandmother would tell us that, and that's the exact reason why I would never send you guys back to my hometown, because you being from Chicago, it's totally different down there, so we'll never send you down there.
Librarian Gloria Coles was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, but her family had Mississippi roots, and they never talked about them. Her parents were so traumatized by news of Emmett Till's death, she says, they couldn't discuss it with her. She saw their copy of the Black News Weekly Jet with its photo of Emmett in his open coffin. And because her parents couldn't talk to her about Emmett's death, Gloria Coles talked with her friends.
I remember now that it was just at the high point of the summer, hottest days you're going to get in August, the most fun you have dreading going back to school. And I remember it just kind of making those last summer days so grim that we lost our sort of happiness. The happy days were gone.
Coles says that like many black children outside the South, Emmett's death made them determined that they would give wide berth to the region. She remembers making a promise to herself.
I didn't know anything about the South. But I was sure when I finished that I wouldn't ever find a need to be in the South.
Coles kept that promise well into her adulthood when she convinced herself that fear of visiting the integrated South was irrational. She took a couple of brief trips but vowed never to set foot in Money, Mississippi. When her father talked at all about his background, he cited Greenwood as his birthplace. But in the early 90s, an elderly uncle set the record straight.
He indicated that the family had, in fact, come from Money, Mississippi, which is the place where Emmett was killed. And in fact, that would have been the very town that, had I sought to see some relatives, I would have had to go to.
Gloria Cole's family left Mississippi in 1923. Leslie McLemore says his family never discussed leaving the South. Solidly middle class, the McLemore clan stayed put to run their farm and businesses. But they also schooled their children in how to survive in an environment that was often hostile to blacks.
We had always been reminded to be careful around white folk. That is, make sure you don't speak out of term, out of school, as it were. So that was both this just outrage and anger on the part of my parents, on the part of, I think, all of us. But also this caution that you had to be very careful around white people because they could take advantage of you.
Now a professor of political science at Jackson State University, Leslie McLemore says his parents fully expected him to inherit a wider world than theirs had initially been. Emmett Till's murder, he says, was the spark that lit the long fuse of the civil rights movement.
You can connect the dots between the death of Emmett Till, the Montgomery bus boycott, and all of the activities that occurred after that, the student sit-in movement, the Freedom Riders. So all of that, really, when you put it all together, that's the foundation for where I am today.
And where is he? Well, in addition to being a university professor, Leslie McLemore is president of Jackson City Council. He says it's a sign that the South has matured significantly in the years since Emmett's death. His world now is different from the one he was born into, and his 20-year-old sons will be more different yet.
Well, you know, I didn't tell him to be as cautious as my mother indicated to me. I mean, he grew up, obviously, in a different era and a different time. He's living in a whole different world.
The memory of Emmett Till's murder still sends shivers down many black baby boomers' spines. Claude Cunningham says whatever the results from the exhumation and testing of Emmett Till's body, even justice delayed is better than justice denied.
Like I said earlier, there's always been rumors that that wasn't his body in the grave and that was somebody else. But it doesn't matter whoever it was. They were beaten beyond recognition. So it doesn't if it's not him, find out it's not him and then find out who it is. Find out something.
Emmett Till has been reburied in his Chicago plot. Autopsy and DNA results are expected to be released later this summer. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News, Los Angeles.
Well, I ain't superstitious. Black cat just crossed my trail. Well, I ain't superstitious.
Thanks to the PBS program American Experience for its help with our story.